And now for just a few moments, let's direct our attention to a relic of the early generations of the Christian faith, and yet one of the keys that opens the door to a real Christian home, and that is the family altar. The story is told of a young lady, a mother, a new Christian, who attended her church, and just after she had become a Christian, she heard the minister speak of the value and necessity of a family altar in a Christian home. And early Monday morning, she went off to the neighborhood furniture store and asked them if they had any family altars. She was looking for one, an early American. Now, she obviously missed entirely the impact of what is a family altar. And so we've suggested for you on your outline note that a family altar is a family gathering together to speak to God in prayer and to hear from God through His Word. That's the simplest definition of a family altar that you can come upon. That family with mom and dad and fellows and girls gather together and they have a twofold purpose. They want to speak to God as a family. And they want to hear from God as a family. Now it seems to me that there are some imperatives for a family altar today. We could take a great deal of time to support a number of these, but let's just move through it rather briefly and quickly and note that because of a number of factors about us today, a family altar seems to be more imperative than ever before. And yet the fact is that it appears less often than it probably has ever appeared in recent generations of Christians. Because of the indoctrination of our public educational system, a family altar is an imperative. Because of the infection from the peer group, of our children, our peer group, because of the infection that comes from that peer group, there needs to be that teaching, that whatever is needed in the life of those young people to insulate them and to build up their resistance so that they shall have what is necessary to resist the infection of their peer group. Because of the inadequacy of our Sunday school, imagine trying to prepare our families for living in this world by giving them about 35 minutes a week of Bible teaching. How ineffective our Sunday schools really are is one of the things that is very distressing to many of us. We are not about to abandon it, but we are not about to consider it as the some answer to the needs of our families. The teachers hardly know our children. They have very little time to interact with them on a personal and practical level. There are so many limitations to a Sunday school. And because of that, makes the family altar that much more imperative. You may be embarrassed by the next one, but I think it could be pretty well demonstrated that the spiritual illiteracy of our children today is rather appalling. But it is the next one that I think is the most important of all. It is because of the influence of home education. Home education undoubtedly is the primary factor in the molding of a child's values and character. A number of years ago, Columbia University did a study trying to determine what were the factors that played the most important role in the molding and development of children. They discovered that 16% of the influence came from character-forming organizations like Boy Scouts and Pioneer Girls and Sunday school classes and young people's groups. They concluded that 31% of the influence came from their peer group. That, by the way, after they reached 18 years of age, became 50%. But 53% came from home influence. Now, that is very remarkable. And the most startling thing that came out of that study is that the most influential factor in the home that affects the character, the values, the priorities of children, the most influential factor is father's conversation at supper table. Now, isn't that rather remarkable? the way Father talks or does not talk, what he talks about and how he talks about it, how he responds to his day at work, how he responds to the accident he had, how he responds to the food that is put upon the table, how he responds to a problem that a child raises when he is talking about what happened at school that day. Father's conversation at the supper table is the most influential factor in the development of the character of a child. Now, if that is true, then it seems to me that it says a great deal to a father who is the head of the home and responsible for the training of the children, and it says a great deal as to how that father is to conduct himself at the supper table. And surely one of the great factors that will make that conversation at the supper table that much more meaningful and productive in a positive way will be to have a family altar at that time. So the influence of home education makes a family altar just imperative. The injunctions of Scripture also seem to say that there is a great value and great need for such a thing. That brings us to the basis for a family altar, and there are two major passages in Scripture that contain injunctions that can be focused into the practice of a family altar. We have already studied Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, we discovered in our message on Saturday evening that there are five principles there for the training of our children. We are to make the home the primary agency. We are to establish God's line of command so that the father takes the leadership. We are not to exasperate our children so that they become discouraged and do not want to please us. And we are to train them by disciplining them. That is the word, to bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. But then the fifth principle that we did not consider was the principle related to bringing them up in the admonition of the Lord. Now, the word that is used there in the original text is the word that means instruction. And we are to train them by instructing them. Now, whatever else is involved, the verse clearly indicates then that it is the father's responsibility in the home to rear his children by instructing them. And that, of course, is one of the dimensions of the family altar. The second biblical basis for this institution comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6. So may I ask you to turn in that to that chapter, please. One of the central passages in the Old Testament regarding the teaching and training of our children. To an Israelite, Deuteronomy chapter 6 was the most important chapter in his Old Testament. It contained the great saying that was the capstone of a Jewish confession. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And that was the confession of an Israelite. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 6, this great chapter of the Scriptures, I want you to note what he says beginning in verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. All these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Now let us stop there. That is the first great principle that emerges from the chapter. Moses is addressing himself to fathers and mothers. And in the book of Deuteronomy, he is going to rehearse the Mosaic covenant. He is going to adapt it and adjust it slightly for the new kind of life that the Israelites are about to enter upon, a life that will be settled in a land in contrast to that pilgrimage life through the wilderness. And as they are about to move into the land and settle down, and just before Moses fades from the scene and passes the torch to Joshua, Moses stands up and he reviews, rehearses, renews the covenant that was made between Israel and Israel's God. And in the beginning of this chapter, he puts his finger right on the very sum total of that covenant. That is, that they were to love the Lord their God with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength. And then he turns to them and he says, now you take this to heart. You learn it. You take it in. Assimilate it into your mind. Assimilate it into your life. Make it part and parcel of your way of life. Now that is where a family altar begins. A family altar will be meaningless unless it has started with this in the life of mom and dad. It is as mom and dad read the Word of God and learn the Word of God and take it into their life and assimilate it and then work it out in their life by their values and priorities and by their lifestyle that they have the foundation for a family altar. First of all, says Moses, you take it to heart. You learn it. You make it part of your being. And then, he goes on to say, verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Now do you see the great significance of this structured order here? First of all, it shall be in thine heart, part of your way of life, part of your way of thinking. And then thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Now the key verse, of course, is that seventh verse. After the parent has assimilated it into his heart and his life, then he is instructed to do two things. First, he is to teach them diligently unto his children. And then secondly, he is to talk of them when he sits down, when he walks, when he rises, when he goes to bed. Now I want to reverse the order of the verse, and I want to suggest, first of all, that in the last half of verse 7, the prophet Moses is speaking of the informal instruction of our children. And I am personally committed to it as a priority. I am committed to the fact that this has far greater priority over the formal instruction, which is what he is referring to in the first half of the verse when he says, thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. He is saying in the last half of the verse that there ought to be an atmosphere within the home whereby children are informally taught the ways of God and the Word of God. Thou shalt talk of them. It is not a preaching. It is not a sermon. It is not a structured family altar time. It is a talking of the things of God. It is a talking of the precepts of God. It is a talking of the program of God. It is a talking of the things of God. Now, says Moses, you are to talk of those things to your children when thou sittest in thy house and when thou walkest in the way. And then goes on to say, when thou liest down and when thou risest up. Now this is a very typical bit of Hebrew literature. And one of the characteristics of Hebrew literature is the tendency to polarize or to speak of extremities, to pick this extreme and that extreme, and to use both of those extremes to cover everything that is in between them. And that is what Moses is doing here. So for example, when he says, you shall talk of them when you sit in your home and walk in the way, he is saying that you will talk of them every place because those are the two polarized extremes. Wherever you are, talk of the things of God. And then he takes another situation and he says, when you rise up in the morning and go to bed at night. And those are the two extremes temporally. And he is implying and every time in between them. So all the time talk of them. Now these two expressions then simply are saying to us that in our homes as parents, after we have taken the Word of God in and it is in our hearts, then it is to become an informal piece of conversation wherever we go and any time during the day. Now of course I think it is possible for us to isolate these and to talk specifically. For example, if we were to take them as individual points, it would be very easy to demonstrate the wisdom of informally talking about the things of God when thou sittest in thine house. That's a great time to have an informal context for the talking of the things of God. I have found as a father that one of the best times to informally talk about the things of God is when we are watching television. Now, I know that this will shock some of you, but I find that this is a very, very excellent time. We evaluate commercials. My daughters are able to tell you, oftentimes, exactly what is the devious methodology of the advertisement that is being used on television. We have analyzed these television commercials so often. When we see something that is happening on television, and I recognize that it is situational ethics, I recognize that it is something that is being used to undermine Christian faith, then I bring this up and we are in a position where we evaluate it. I have discovered that one of the best times to talk to my children about dating and about sex is when we watch television. And we make, although this will, I know, horrify some of you, we make watching television as a family one of our best times of instructing our children informally. We have Saturday night a couple of traditional programs that we watch because I generally refuse to go out on Saturday night. And when we watch those television programs as a family, we use them as great times of instruction. And I think that a parent is very foolish who does not take advantage of sitting in front of the television with their arms around their kids and watching one of the programs that the kids are watching and then helping the children to analyze that program. What is really being said? Is that a good point? Is that a biblical point? Is that a moral point? Is that an ethical point? And that is a great point and a great place for the informal instruction of our children. He says, when you sit in your home. He says earlier than that, when thou walkest in the way. Now, you and I don't do a whole lot of walking anymore, but we do a lot of riding. And driving in a car is a wonderful opportunity for informally instructing our children. We see billboards. We see kids hanging around on a street corner. We watch a child ride his bicycle in a careless, reckless way. That is the time to instruct our children. Our habit at home is when we drive home from church on Sunday morning, our children give us a report on what they have learned in their Sunday school classes and what they learned from the morning sermon. And it is part of our tradition, driving home together, or at least when we are at home at our Sunday meal. And we make use of that time, and driving together as a family is a great opportunity for instructing our children. He says, when thou liest down, I do not know of a time when a child is more open, is more sensitive than the last few minutes of the day when they are in bed. I think that it is a great opportunity for every father, and I suspect that all you mothers do it, but I think it is a great opportunity for every father to make a habit of occasionally going in and laying down on the bed with their teenage daughter or with their son as they are ready to go to sleep and just talk. I find that that is when kids will really open up and talk. And it is a wonderful opportunity to informally talk and find out the things that are really bothering them and really underneath in their personal life. And then he says, when thou risest up in the morning, when the kids are getting up, when we're starting to get ready for school, that is the time when in an informal context we can help to set goals for the day, objectives for their playtime and for their school time. So the last part of the verse is a very direct injunction to us as parents to informally instruct our children. Now, I am emphasizing this because for my money, this is by far more important than a family altar. Give me any time a home where there is the atmosphere to openly and freely and informally talk about the things of God. Give me that home any time. Over the home that ignores the things of God all through the day and all through the evening, but has 5 or 10 minutes set apart after supper when they have a family altar. Seems to me that it is far more advantageous to have that informal contact with our children where we are openly and informally always talking to them about the things of God. Now, do you know why we don't do that? Now, may I be very bold in my last few minutes? My friend, the reason why we don't do that is because the Word of God is not in our hearts as parents. And that is why Moses says, before he instructs them in verse 7, have it in your heart. And the mom and dad that is in the Word of God and feasting upon the Word of God and meditating upon the Word and enjoying the Word is the mom or dad that will be very free and easy to informally and casually instruct the children in the principles of the Word of God. as those opportunities arise, when the child comes home from school and says something that is an open door to an instructive lesson from the Word of God. Informal instruction is, I believe, the priority. But then at the beginning of verse 7, he does say, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And I think that the verb Moses uses here for teaching would suggest the formal instruction of the Word of God. So that is what is involved in that verse 7. Clearly we are told then that it is not just to be an informal thing in our homes, but there is to be the formal teaching and instruction of the Word of God to our children. Now, one of the reasons why we don't do this is because we really don't know how to go about it. And so the fourth point that we have suggested from the verses that we have just read are some principles that may help us in relation to setting up a family altar. First of all, what we need to do is to cultivate the right attitude toward that family altar when we are going to instruct them in the Word of God. And that right attitude is that it's going to be a fun time when we are going to get together and hear something from God as to what He says about our family. It is designed with children in mind. And that is very important. Our passage says this. It is not to instruct your wife. It is not to develop your own spiritual life. It is designed for your children. And so what you will do with a young family of 4 or 5 year olds will be very different from what you will do with a family of 15 and 16 year olds. But it is designed with the children in mind. That means probably that it will be brief. It means likely that it will be very flexible. There needs to be a lot of changes so that you're doing a different thing every week or every month, because that is what children need. It probably will mean that you will use a version of the Bible that your children enjoy and understand. It is designed with the children in mind. Thirdly, it should be conducted in a pleasant, informal atmosphere of home. I think that you are going to destroy the joy of the family altar if you blow the whistle and hit your hand on the table and says, all right, now's the time for the family altar. And everybody sits up straight and, you know, all right, it's church time now at home. If it's going to be effective, there needs to be that pleasant, informal atmosphere where you are together as a family. It's clear, I think, from our passage that it should involve all the family. All the family participate. This is not Dad's podium. This is a family altar. And so the children are involved in praying, in reading the Bible, in giving a favorite song to be sung, in offering some prayer requests. Mom and Dad share in praying and in participating. All of the family are involved in it. He says it supplements the informal instruction throughout the day, and I think that that needs to be underlined. It does not replace it. It is designed to supplement it, just as the Sunday school is the supplement to it. And the last is, I think it ought to be a regular part of family life in the light of the injunction in Deuteronomy 6 and Ephesians chapter 6. Now, if it's to be a regular part of our family life, how shall we do it? And I've suggested some procedures that just may be of interest to you. I think, first of all, that there are a variety of components that can make up a family altar. Surely prayer is one of them. Prayer of the wife, prayer of the husband, prayer of the children, prayer of praising, prayer of petitioning. All different kinds of prayers. But prayer and a variety of prayers will be one of the components. The reading of the scriptures, I surely would suspect, would be another component that would be part of it. And again, I underline the importance of reading from a version that your children appreciate, one they understand, one they can read from, and let them do some of the reading from that Bible, one that they can underline with their pencil if they wish. Dramatization is another tremendous way, especially when children are young, to conduct a family altar. One of the things that we do every year in our home, and I'm just going to mention it later, but I'll mention it now, is that we always, as a family, dramatize the Christian story step by step. And one of our daughters is a great organizer and loves this type of thing, and she plans, as we approach Christmas in November, she starts planning the different stories that we are going to dramatize. And we read it from the Bible, and then we get up around the Christmas tree over in our dining room there, and we dramatize the story. I am Joseph, or I'm an angel, or she's a donkey, and we just have a great time dramatizing the story, and everybody is involved in it. Now, that, of course, it isn't really appropriate for teenagers, but when you've got young children, it becomes an awful lot of fun. Another one of the components is the memorizing of Scripture. If you do not know anything about Bible Memory Association, I recommend it to you. Do you know it in this part of the country? BMA? It is a wonderful thing to do. And one of the things that we do, you know, you only memorize, I think, in the first 2 or 3 months of the year, January, February, and March, or something like that. But it is a wonderful thing to do in relation to the family altar, because everybody in the family is learning verses. And you can have quizzes back and forth, checking each other on verses, and hearing verses, and interpreting the meaning of verses, and so on. And the memorizing of Scripture is a great component here. Music surely should be a part. And this is especially true if the mother has the musical ability, or if the daughters have any. They can play the piano, or the son can play a guitar. A music component is very, very useful in getting everyone involved in just having a good sing. Devotional books also can be used. Now, I've given you a list of some recommended books for family altars, and you may look over this list afterward, and I hope that you will consider taking your child down to a Christian bookstore and letting your children pick out a book or two, something that they would like to have read at the family altar. And it's something that is of their choosing, so that it will be right down the line meeting their needs. Listening to tapes, missionary stories, and other things. Now, there are many ways that a family altar can be conducted. I've suggested a weekly schedule because a number of my friends find this to be particularly helpful. Now, you will find that the significant thing is that the day of the week, the first letter of the day of the week becomes the first letter of what you do on that day. So Monday is missionary day. And it's easy to remember. They both start with M. And on missionary day, you pray for missionaries. You read letters from missionaries. You may read a book on a missionary story or some such thing as that. Tuesday is theology day. That's where you study a doctrine. And you may take your children through some doctrine. Kenneth Taylor has a very good book on Bible doctrine that is geared for young children ages 4 through 10 or 11. And it takes them through the doctrines of the Trinity and the person of Christ and the Holy Spirit and all of the doctrines of the Bible. On Wednesday, you may have it as your witnessing day. That is the day we pray for the kids at school that we are witnessing to. We pray for our next door neighbors. We pray for Mr. Smith, who's been coming to the chapel and still hasn't accepted the Lord. And we really focus in on how to witness, some of the problems that we're having in witnessing, and praying for those that we are witnessing to. Thursday can be training day, and I like this one, because this is the one that we give to our children and say, this is your day to plan the devotion. And so one of the children is responsible on Thursday for planning whatever they want to do on that particular day. And they have all kinds of scope then for thinking and planning and training and developing themselves in their own spiritual gifts. Friday is family day, and that's when you pray for the problems in your family. You pray for grandma and grandpa. You pray for an uncle that is ill. You pray for a problem that exists between a brother and sister in a family, and you talk about something from the Word of God that will particularly relate to some of the situations that are existing in your family. And then Saturday, you especially consider the Sunday services. And on Sunday, if you have time, probably most of us don't, but if you have time for one on Sunday, I think that the best thing to do is to pray especially for the Sunday school classes that your children will be in, and to really prepare them for what they are going to be studying as they go to Sunday school. Now, that is not the only way to do it, of course, but that is one possible method, and the variety of it is often very attractive to children. Special occasions give lots of opportunities for a family altar. Now, I suppose the reason why most of us don't have it is because of the problems connected with having a family altar. Some say, I don't have time. What do you say in response to that? Well, I don't have any response to that. I don't really think that deserves a response. My friend, if you don't have time, then there's something very, very wrong in your life. It's not convenient. That's probably a little more honest. And as our children grow up, it becomes less convenient because it is very difficult to get the family all together. And I am beginning to be aware of the tremendous problems with this very point, and I really do not know what the answer is. All I can suggest, of course, is that the family sit down sometime and talk about the problem and agree that such a thing would be valuable in our family and try to come to some kind of a compromise. It may only be able to be done once a week in a family as the children become teenagers. It may only be able to be done on certain days because of schedule. But it would seem to me that if teenagers and parents decided that it would be valuable to do it, that some kind of compromise could be worked out. We don't have to worry about the I don't know how, because there are some things we have already suggested that can be done. One of the problems with a family altar is that it can become a fetish. That means it can become really an idol that you worship. And I do not think that it ought to become that. There is great liberty in the Christian life. And I think that if you do not have time to have the family altar on a given day, then I don't think that you ought to feel guilty about it. I don't think that you ought to work it in a legalistic way in your home. I don't think you ought to convey that to your children. It ought not to be dealt with as something that is a fetish in the life of the father. It is something that is part of the liberty of the home. And there are many times when we are going out after supper or we don't have time for certain other factors that are coming up where we just say, well, we're not going to be able to have it tonight. And I do not feel particularly guilty about it because I want my children to learn that it's a matter of liberty in my Christian life. It is not a legalistic thing that we are doing. And then last of all, of course, it can be a satanic substitute for God's plan of informally teaching and instructing our children all day long in every place. And we never would want the family altar to become a substitute for that, because the informal is unquestionably the priority. Now, I could have said a whole lot more about this, but this has been an awfully long weekend for you people, I am sure, and I know that you want to get your children home, and I do not want to lengthen our deliberation upon it. I want to challenge you in relation to the practice of a family altar. And I think it is a key that opens the door to a happy, meaningful Christian home. It is undoubtedly one of the relics of the past generations of Christians. But I think it is one of the relics that could well be retrieved and dug up and practiced again.